Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Thanks for joining us as we continue our look at the Shorter Catechism. This morning in particular, we're going to look at what is effectual calling. This is the question that I, memorizing the catechism, had the hardest time keeping straight because there's so much packed into it, but it is one of this glorious truth that gives great comfort. So let us dig in. What is effectual calling? Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds to the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he does persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the gospel. So we see here we have the Spirit does three things to us in order to persuade and enable. So he does three things to allow us to do two things as the gospel comes to us. So let's begin. So the work, effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit. Paul talks about this in 2 Timothy, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our work, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And so again, we see right away that it is God who is at work. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he chose us for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit. He chose us, and therefore the Spirit set us apart. Work in us. And so it's not just a waving of the wand. He does three particular actions, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery. And so we see this in the preaching of the law, for example. As the law goes forth, it's that mirror Paul talks about that drives us to our need, and so that we come to Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So part of the purpose of preaching is to expose to you your sin. Now, wait a second. I thought you just said the Spirit's doing this, and now you're saying preaching. Well, we have in preaching, we have one of the means whereby the Spirit enables you to see this. So, again, he's not just waving a wand. He does it by preaching, amongst other things. Enlightening our minds of the knowledge of Christ. I send you, so this is God talking to Paul. Well, Paul recounting how God has spoken to him. I send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from the darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith. So we see again, it is God using the means of a preacher, but it's the Spirit who's doing the work in hell. So the external work is done through preaching, the internal by the Spirit, and the internal is essential. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So again, God working through the Spirit. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so, again, it's yes, there's that external work, but unless the Spirit enlightens the heart, it is of no avail. To the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, that what are the riches of the glory of inheritance of his inheritance in the saints. So again, you see, the saints are being enlightened, strengthened by the Spirit. And then thirdly, he renews their will. Convinces of our sin and misery. enlightens our minds, but even still, that would not be sufficient. We must also renew our will. The Lord God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. So this passage of Deuteronomy is, in a real sense, a fleshing out of what had already been given in Leviticus 26. In Leviticus 26, you have a scenario set up where, after God had executed all the covenant curses and expelled Israel from the promised land, that if they confessed their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, they walked contrary to God, so that God walked contrary to them. If they paid for their iniquities, and thirdly, if they circumcised their hearts, humbled their uncircumcised hearts. And these three impossible commands, frankly, all three of these are not something that Israel can, could, or would ever do. Daniel picks up on this in Daniel 9, for example, such that it requires the coming of the Messiah, Jesus, to do this. But in Deuteronomy, which is parallel, we have that God will circumcise our hearts. And so again, that's the work of the Spirit, not something that you do. Just as a baby could not circumcise itself, so too could not you circumcise your heart. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you. I will take their heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of, I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So, again, it's God needs to give us a new heart, renewing our will, and our hearts shrink back, and so he will give us a spirit that does not shrink back, a will that does not shrink back. And because he's done this, he's convinced us of our sin. Enlighten our minds and the knowledge of Christ, and renew our wills, he's able to persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. And so again, that it's the Spirit at work. As the Son, we are drawn to the Son, and the Son gives us to the Father, who we embrace him. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Tyre, who was working on the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. So notice the use of means spoken by Paul, the Lord opened her heart. So and then finally, this last line, freely offered to us in the gospel. Many, especially in the continental Reformed tradition, are not too keen on the free offer of the gospel. They pause it as some hypothetical option of salvation apart from election, and that's not at all what it's talking about. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. Talk about the promiscuous proclamation of the gospel. That the gospel is to be freely preached throughout all the earth. And what this is in the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. And as it goes forth, that general call, come to me all who labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, the gospel is to be offered freely and promiscuously, for it is written, for it is God who works in both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So, yet, there is no hypothetical general salvation. Rather, as the gospel goes forth and is freely proclaimed, the Spirit will draw unto salvation all those who are his. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And so the bride, the church, is to freely call all creation to repentance and relieve to the Spirit that work of convincing us of our sin, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills. So apart from Spirit doing that, there is no salvation. But yet, all along the way, we are freely offered in hope, knowing that He will draw in salvation all the time. Thank you for joining us, and join us next time as we continue our look at the Shorter Catechism. Thank you, and God bless.